Anyway, talk about that later.
The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
Starting to wrap up the NFL season a little bit. Only a few more weeks left. I'm getting a bit sad.
Yeah, well, up until then, you know, everything else kicks in, like the draft and all that. I'm only sad for like a month, and then everything, the free agency and everything kicks in.
Well, that's true. And then, you know, then it's like our football season and everything. So, you know, we don't really have to miss out on too much. But, you know, yeah, it always gets a bit sad towards the end of the NFL season because, you know, but, you know, we've hit the divisional round. You know, we had Super Wild Card weekend in our last pod. Divisional round was probably not as insane as what the last one was, but still some quality football, I thought.
Yeah, and at least for me, when hello everyone, and when I go through these scores, to me, at least, I think that I thought these were the favourites for me, and these are the ones I picked to win. But we'll go through them. So, always in our time. So, the Sunday games were the Chiefs beating the Jags 27-20. The Seagulls, my God, I'm already in NRL mode. Philadelphia.
We're already on the road to the NRL. Woo!
Philadelphia Eagles dominating the Giants 38-7. The Monday's games were the Bengals beating the Bills 27-10 and the San Francisco 49ers beating the Dallas Cowboys 19-12.
Sunday games that were a little disappointing, but yeah.
Well, I don't know. Probably for attack. And let's start there. We'll start with those games. We may as well. I mean, we'll go with the first one, the Bengals-Bills. I did pick the Bengals. I believed in their team. Just on the sheer factors. Firstly, I think Von Miller was a big missing piece in this build.
Big missing piece.
As much as the whole Damar Hamlin being there and everything like that, and obviously this was the game, not this particular game, but this was the team that they were playing against when all that happened. Yeah. Unfortunately, that can only take you so far. That's sentimental. You need, you need all your players cooking. And unfortunately, at least for me in this game, Diggs wasn't cooking, but Diggs just didn't really catch many targets. He had a league leading 10 targets, but he only caught four of them.
No, that's right. A little bit to be sort of said. Yeah, I think about this. They said that the emotion, with Hamlin in the building can only get you so far. You've still got to be able to keep focus on the task at hand. And they didn't quite get there. Like it was probably one of their worst run games of the year. They just could not get any sort of flow in the run game at all. Only 64 total yards, and you know Joe Mixon had an absolute field day against that front seven, I guess, against Buffalo. But also when Burrow's throwing the ball, like Buffalo's secondary is pretty banged up, and they took advantage of that as well.
Injuries for the Bengals, the Bills part did hurt them. Eventually, it was that, and I don't know, just not that I'm not sold on him. I think he's a great player, but for some reason, and still has that in his game, Josh Allen just sort of capitulates at the key time. He even coming into this game, he wasn't that
we
great.
We said it last time. Great front runners, but you put the pressure on. You put him in the pressure cooker. And see how they go when they're from behind. And Cincinnati got out to a 14-0 lead, And it just put all the pressure back on to the Bills, back on to Josh Allen, and they just couldn't handle it.
You hit the nail on the head at the start of this perfectly. They really need to look in the offseason for a running back. I did read that they were in that mix for that Christian McCaffrey trade. They obviously didn't want to give up that much, but to me, maybe they should have. They're at this. This is the perfect time, Stephon Diggs is only getting older. Josh Allen's coming into those prime years. You don't need Christian McCaffrey running back, but you need a good. You know, Josh Jacobs is coming up free agency unless the Raiders end up picking him back up again. But you need, I think, a quality running back.
Either that, or you look in the draft for a good. I think they need a good hard runner. They've got Singletary, who is, you know, he's very competent catching passes in the backfield. But I think that they would really like something along the lines of a Latavius Murray or a Mark Ingram or somebody like that, a real hard-nosed runner. You know, they might only get three and a half yards, you know, average per carry, but hard, you know what I mean? Hard yards, you know, real hard-nosed, heavy-hitting running back. And I think that'll help.
I guess so, because then that way, we all said, well, I think you did as well, but I definitely said at the start of the year, I thought Devin Singletary could have a good year for him. That isn't the case at all.
And he had probably a good first, 3 months?
Yeah.
And then as the playoffs have come around, he started to tail off a little bit. And this is the time where you need to start peaking. And whether that's scheme, whether they haven't been using him enough. So, there could be a little bit of both.
I think I think if you get someone hard nosed like you said, and then do you use James Cook possibly as that secondary and sort of build him. So I thought there was something there still. I still think there is something there.
Could possibly. Only between both running backs, only 11 total carries behind a fairly depleted offensive line there.
But even the throwing game, like I thought Gabe Davis would be a great WR2 this year, and he hasn't done much this year as well.
He's been feast or famine, really.
Yeah, but look, we've got to give the credit to the Bengals. They very well constructed team. They brought well in the off season. They shored up that offensive line because that was their biggest problem.
Look, they come into this game, you know, with three offensive linemen down, and Buffalo only got one sack on Burrow, and that's just not good enough. That's just not good enough against an offensive line in Cincinnati that you would have thought would have had holes in it everywhere, and they held up really well.
Yeah, no, they did.
Like you said, Von Miller, massive. Yeah, can't underestimate how much of a difference he could have made on the night.
Concerning for me going in for them for the offseason, just before we move on to the next game, is like so there's the last couple of years that they've done this. Like they won the division pretty comfortably, although I think Miami still is on the verge of – they're on an uptick to me. They're more of a downtick. How do they get to that next step? What do they need? Like what are they – is it just as simple as getting a running back? Like what – are they going to do? Like, this is sort of classic Buffalo Bills. I know there's a documentary where didn't they lose like four Super Bowls in a row? Right?
They went to four straight Super Bowls. Yeah, with Jim Kelly and lost all four. So, you know, that's in the early to mid 80s, I think it was. So, yeah, that's pretty brutal. Look, health wise,
because the teams are getting better, but the Jets are getting, you know, Jets.
No, that's right, and that's becoming.
Better. New England, yeah. New England, and Miami's definitely getting better. So they got to watch out.
That's becoming a very fiercely contested division in the AFC, which I guess, the balance of power has changed now. And, you know, obviously New England has ruled that for the past 15 years. And now that they've sort of slipped back to the pack, so to speak, now it's up for grabs. And like you said, Miami went all in, you know, for the future with how they sort of made their moves this year. And the only thing that sort of derailed them was, you know, Tua's concussions and probably not having the run guru of Mike McDaniels. They're not really maximizing the guys that they had there to be able to help out a backup quarterback there and still be able to get wins. Buffalo, I think health was a major factor this year. They had a fairly depleted secondary. You know, Micah Hyde, did he miss like the whole year most of the year? Like you said, Von Miller, he ain't getting any younger. You know, there's going to come a time where he'll start to be less effective. So, you know, there's something to look at there. Mm-hmm. I really think something that will help Josh Allen a lot and not have the pressure on the throwing game, because he had a really reckless, probably last 2 months of the season throwing the ball. I think to be able to have a good thumping running back to rely on that and for them to be consistent will really help him out.
So the other game on that day was the Niners beating my Dallas Cowboys. 19-12. It was a lot closer than I sort of thought because, I guess both defenses are really good, really good defenses. I mean, we all know how good the 49ers defense is. And Dallas's defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, for me is one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL. He really turned a team that had sort of pieces, but he turned them around and they are, to me, one of the better defenses. So it all came down to the offense. But 49ers just have enough really good weapons to win a game.
No, well, that's it. And, you know, they're not relying on Brock Purdy to do everything for them and save them. Was always going to be a fairly, sort of defensive heavy game, so to speak. Like you said, both rushing parts of both of these teams are phenomenal. Yeah. So there was always going to be a lot of pressure on both quarterbacks. I think more so obviously on Dak, and it, you know, defense did all the talking really early in this game. Both teams couldn't really capitalize on any sort of field position that they had. Prescott first quarter interception. It didn't sort of bode very well until, you know, sort of the second quarter. I think San Francisco just sort of kept themselves within striking distance. Brett Maher had his woes again and had his first PAT attempt blocked, and they all flapped they all went off on the coverage. Oh, have a look at the trajectory on everything of that. Oh, that was going to miss by a mile, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, righto. What have they got? Hawkeye technology there as well. But anyway, that's what they come down to. So that sort of shot his confidence, but the big turning point in this game was Tony Pollard getting hurt inside the final 2 minutes of the second quarter. And that really, really hurt the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, no, 100%. He's, almost been our running back one this year. They've worked in tandem, but obviously Pollard has got the more yards this year, and it did screw us because effectively Zeke isn't really the Zeke of old anymore. So
it's unbelievable his regression. I don't understand it.
It's a weird regret, but then it's a weird regression because even though he has regressed a lot, he's still technically a top 20 running back.
No, that's right, and that's part of it as well. Like, it's not as if he's been completely ineffective, but I think the bar was set so high with him over the first few years of his NFL career that it's hard to sustain that. And now they've paid him based on previous performances, and now that could come back to really bite them in the ass as time goes on.
Well, basically, what Tony needs to get paid soon, so we need to work that out.
No, that's right.
I think constructed the way our team currently is constructed, it's okay. I mean, they're probably a little bit short in the secondary, not too much, like Leighton and, obviously Micah and a few others, but we're probably missing a cornerback possibly. If it really comes down to out of all of it, is Dak needs to get back where Dak's getting paid for what Dak's doing. And if not, then we're not doing anything, because that's really it.
No, that's right. But you remember back mid-season, and, Dak got hurt. Was it the thumb or one of the fingers on his throwing hand? And Cooper Rush come into this side. They weren't expecting a whole lot to happen. The Cowboys looked pretty good during those Cooper Rush games. What was it, 4 or 5 weeks? They were like 4-1. And then Dak comes back and they completely change their style of play. And while they were one of the best, scoring offenses in the league, it just didn't translate into playoff success again.
No. Yeah, that's right.
Dan Quinn's staying put. So that's a good thing.
That's the main thing. Yeah,
and it looks like Kellen Moore might be out the door there. So there's the possibility, and there's, talk being flown around that McCarthy could be calling plays for the Cowboys next year.
I
don't think that is cool, boy. I don't think that's the right way to go about this at all. No. So
for me, I think I personally think if that ends up being the case, and they don't find an offensive coordinator, I think they signed Dan Quinn on a half a promise. He got paid pretty well on half a promise of, if something happens with McCarthy and we don't get to where we want to be, hold tight, because I think you'll be head coach. I just have that sneaky feeling for the Cowboys. I mean,
yeah, could possibly.
It's a perfect example of what's happening in the Patriots. I don't like when a head coach controls effectively everything on the team.
No, it's too much responsibility. They've got so much to coordinate themselves. Like, you need to be able to separate those. They're pretty heavily responsible, roles within a team, and you need to be able to, your head coach could be, an offensive whiz or a defensive whiz. But usually
I don't know what he is.
He's a very big person. I'm not sure either. I'm really not. He had Aaron Rodgers for a lot of his career. So, that would be, I think, a pleasure to be able to coach him. And I'm not. We know that he's not a very good clock manager. I think that's pretty. Pretty evident over the last.
It is. So the Niners are moving on. We'll go to those other two games. The Chiefs beating the Jaguars. A pretty spirited Jaguars. Although I felt like for me, although they had to play sort of catch up, I think the Chiefs were comfortably ahead in this game and looked like they were going to win.
No, I think so. I don't think the Jags didn't really worry him too much. The Chiefs just sort of kept them at arm's length throughout most of that game. A bit of an injury concern there for Patrick Mahomes. Rolled an ankle in that first quarter, and then Chad Henne comes in and proceeds to have the Kansas City Chiefs' longest playoff drive in Kansas City history. It was like a 98-yard. Play, 98-yard drive, which got them a TD. So, they've got a pretty handy backup there in Kansas City and Chad Henne. But, Mahomes end up coming back in, which I guess sort of helped. They probably that, you know, whether they needed to risk
it. It was weird. I don't think they really needed to. I think that beautiful long 95 yard drive by Henny was perfect. Pacheco was on fire in this game. And Henny, you know, that once they got that lead, Henny just could have handed off Pacheco, who had a great game in this game. But I think they were pretty comfortable. I didn't think he needed to come back in. Hopefully it doesn't ruin him, you know, in the divisional game. I thought, like you said, he was a competent backup. He still is a competent backup, and they had enough lead and enough weapons to see out the game.
No, that's right. Look, it did start to get a little bit interesting in that fourth quarter there. You know, you had the Valdez-Scantling touchdown that was kind of late in the fourth quarter. On the kickoff return, you had Jamal Agnew, you know, nearly get through everybody. And he nearly got all the way, got knocked down by Butker. And that's was around the 50 yard line, like just over the halfway. Yeah. And you're like, oh, wow, you know, that's really put them in, you know, the Jags in a really good position to attack. And then he
seems
goes
to be
from,
a flavor of all this weekend. Sorry, just no, kick that's returns. Right. I don't know. All weekend, I noticed just you know, the kick returners just pumping out big 30, 40, 50 yards. It looked awesome.
Yeah.
It always looks so good when the blockers come out kick and there's a streak. It looks such an
underrated part, I think, of the NFL is the kick slash, you know, punt return. But, you know, as I was saying, unfortunately, Agnew went from hero to villain and had that crucial fumble inside the 10-yard line when they're right, you know, lost possession. There's five odd minutes to go in the game. If they had been able to hold on to the possession there, you know, and score a touchdown, they might have been back into the game. But, you know, it's 27-17. You know, they have that fumble inside the 10-yard line. Kansas City gets the ball back. Jacksonville does really well defensively to stop Kansas City to be able to get the ball back. And then with like 3.5 minutes left, Trevor Lawrence throws an interception and that pretty much kills the game. I think that they were fairly, you know, within, you know, with probably a three and a half minute period of play, that there was fairly significant momentum changes, you know, inside that game where Jacksonville absolutely had chances to win this game and just couldn't get it done.
No, I totally agree. I think they're an interesting team in the offseason because they spent a lot in the previous offseason. They come in with a 9-8 record, so they're gonna have a mid-ish first round pick, and I think they might have another first round pick actually. So I think they run, like, not that they need to worry, but I think they're in a perfect position in a terrible division, running it back, and which to me could have been a sneaky coach of the year candidate in Doug Peterson. Like they,
oh, absolutely.
They have all the tools there to just run it back and just keep doing what you're doing.
Nah, that's right. You know, and
Christian
look,
we all whinged about Christian Kirk's 3-year, $84 million, but he was great this year for him. And I talked about Jay Jones.
They had a lot of good contributors this year, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and part of it as well is, you know, like I heard an interview with Trevor Lawrence, might have been last week, you know, after the defeat in this game. And, you know, basically he said, you know, this coming off season won't be as tumultuous as the previous off season because of all the crap that happened with, you know, with Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer.
You know,
Urban
all
Meyer.
All the rubbish that went on there. Then he had to come in. You know, Doug Peterson come in, puts in a new offensive system. So this off season now he can start to really dive into and perfect that offensive system, and that's what he said. He's got a really good relationship, you know, with Doug Peterson, and he said now they've got some stability, and this offseason he thinks will be much easier, and I think his progression will that Jacksonville could really rule this division for the next few years.
What? Yeah, look, I agree. I think that AFC West division, AFC South division is,
it's up for grabs.
For me, the worst. It's the worst division sort of going, and that's sort of putting it lightly.
Well, the NFC South. Let's not get too crazy here. The NFC South last year was absolutely disgusting. Mm. So, look, at least there were some bright spots in the AFC South. In the NFC South, there was no bright spots at all. Just trash. No,
that's a good point. Just before we move on next, I was going to ask you about Trevor Lawrence. So what do you think of him? Not just as an actual NFL quarterback. Is he, they talk about your, I'm not going to put my homes in there, but they talk about your Herbert, your Burrow and all that. I know he's not there, do you think he could be there? Is he good enough to get there?
I think everybody
was talking about him coming into the draft. He was like consensus number one by a long shot when he
he was the most can't miss prospect since Andrew Luck. Jacksonville were lucky that he sort of fell into their lap. I think His rookie season, you can throw that out the window. That was a complete disaster. This year, as the year went on, they got better. They didn't have the great start to the year. I think, what were they, 1-4? I think that they weren't a very good team at the start of the year. Started to pick up momentum throughout that mid season and at the back end, won the division. Yeah, won the division. Right?
They won the division. Yeah, yeah.
So, even at 9-8, but, still, we're playing fairly good football. Yeah. I've got nice, good, young pieces there. Like you said, Christian Kirk, Evan Engram was a revelation this year for them. Some grizzly veterans there. You've got Marvin Jones. They've got a really good young running back in Travis Etienne. So I think they've got all the ingredients there. They could probably get a little bit better defensively. What have they got? Trayvon Walker, what was he? Was he the second pick? Was he the first pick last year? It was the first pick last year.
No, he was first pick. Maybe a little bit, probably in the secondary and probably the quarterback.
I think the secondary is probably their weakest point.
Because they've got that I think his name is, but he's one of their linebackers.
I think they pronounce it Ulukin, don't they?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. He in every game he's a tackle master. He also then sort of can sneak on the edge, and then usually sort of attacks the quarterback. Yeah, he's phenomenal. So they probably need a corner. I like this young team going forward, and they could really dominate this division if they want to, and if they keep up to what they're doing. Because the other two teams in this division are completely lost. I shouldn't say lost, but they pretty much have no idea what they're doing in the quarterback. That's including Tennessee and including Indianapolis. Houston will be going for a new one in the draft, but those other two.
They're going all out.
The quarterback is going into next year.
No, that's right. There's two. There'll probably be two head coaching changes within that division as well. You've got, like you said, a little bit of sort of instability there with Tennessee. Like that, they're going to go as far as Derrick Henry's going to carry them. So yeah, that division is definitely up for grabs, and I think Jacksonville will go along in leaps and bounds as the years go on, if they can stay consistent like they are, keep Trevor Lawrence protected. And I think next year he'll be, like you said, it could be a Joe Burrow.
It should be that conversation. I believe so. He needs to be in that conversation with him. Yeah. So the last game was the Giants and the Eagles. Two NFC East teams, so I'm not going to like any of them. But the Giants, as what's the word? As they're not depleted. They just don't have anything anyway. They were healthy coming into this. They just have a very depletedly looking side, except for Barkley and a few other pieces. But then ran into a monster. Look,
their receiving core is a big team. Yeah, their receiving core has done, you know, has overachieved something chronic for the names that are in that that wide receiver room. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, and yeah, the steps forward that they made with Brian Daboll as, you know, as the new coach there, Barkley looking, you know, pretty good this year. He didn't really sort of have the game I think that he needed to have in this game to be successful. You know, Philly's front four is just, you know, defensively is so unbelievably menacing that, you know, what are you meant to do? So, you know, Daniel Jones obviously didn't have his most flattering game. He got hit a bunch, got sacked 5 times. You know, Barkley, aside from, you know, a 39-yard rush, only had the rest of it, yeah, the rest of his carries, you know, 8 for 20 odd yards, which is, you know, was just completely ineffective. And that they just got dominated. Yeah, and it was just one way traffic, especially in that first half. What was it? 28.
There's just weapons everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just they've got you mentioned the front four, but then, you know, and obviously we know the players, they're runners. We all clearly know they're receivers, but they're defensive players. It's just Hassan Reddick, who quietly got picked up by them. That wasn't really talked about, I think, a lot. But he's everywhere. Like, he was phenomenal, I thought, in Cardinals.
He's doing great.
I'm not sure how we got there, but that was quietly talked about. I mean, obviously, you know, CJ Gardner-Johnson. You know, there's Darius Slay, there's Fletcher Cox, it's weapons all over this team. Josh Sweat, my God, James Bradbury.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know, and then you mentioned that, like, the Lane Johnsons and the Jason Kelsey's. Like, it's just.
No, that's right. God, that's the thing. Their offense, you know, Jordan Mailata, like, you know, their offensive line did unbelievable in handling, you know, New York's two best defensive players in DeMarcus Lawrence and Leonard Williams. And that was going to be their only hope, is those two being able to sort of rush the passer, rush Jalen Hurts, sort of, you know, maybe get him out of the pocket a little bit. And look, Jalen Hurts didn't have his greatest statistical game, and he didn't look like the, you know, the Jalen Hurts of this season, you know, an MVP prospect for this season. But, you know, the run game for Philadelphia was sublime. And they just pummeled them into submission. 268 total rush yards.
And those two have always sort of looked good. It's funny, and you can throw Boston Scott in there because he always seems to get that cheeky.
Great depth.
$5. What was it? Because I got on him. He's always that cheeky $6.50 anytime touchdown master around these divisional games. But yeah, they got great depth.
He loves playing against the New York Giants too. He scores every time.
That's exactly why I put the money on him, for that reason. shout out to Sportsbet. Sanders doesn't just have to be, you know, 90 yards in this, but it doesn't just have to be great, because you've got Boston Scott, but more important, you've got Kenneth Gainwell. They've got enough weapons. They don't even have to throw, like, they only throw to their three, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and AJ Brown. That's all they had to really throw to. In that game, that's all they really had to throw through. They did throw a couple of, like, two other passes, but just to those guys, obviously, because their running game was on tap. So
no, that's right. And when you're dominating the run game like that, you just keep pounding the ball. You keep their defense on the field. You keep your defense fresh, and that's only going to bode well for you as the playoffs go on.
So they will move on. Let's talk New York offseason. Now, first things first, they need to contract and re-sign that Brian Daboll, because he has absolutely just built a culture there quickly, and they buy into exactly what he wants. So that's number one. Number two is they need to work out what they're doing with those two players we mentioned, because they both didn't get picked up on their 50-year option, and that is Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. Has, in your eyes, Daniel Jones done enough this year to be re-signed?
I'm not sure about a long-term contract. He definitely has played a whole lot better than what he has in you know, obviously throughout his career there at the Giants. They didn't re-sign him for a reason. I guess the plan was to see how he looks under Daboll's system. If it's all ifs. Maybe tag him and see how he plays again next season. If he can replicate the same kind of numbers, if he can keep the interceptions down, if he can keep the fumbles down, which has been his Achilles heel his whole career. He just hasn't been able to hang on to the ball. If he can replicate the same sort
of
numbers.
He's a great runner of the ball.
No, that's right. Yeah. He's an amazing athlete. He's an amazing athlete.
He is amazing.
Do you remember that? Remember that run? Remember that run last year where he broke into the outfield, and then all of a sudden a sniper shot him, and then he fell over like 20 yards with nobody in front of him. 20 yards from the goal line, and down he goes. Like he's an amazing.
That's a big.
He's
call,
an amazing athlete.
To franchise tag him. So you wouldn't say 3 years. $30 million a year, you tag him for 1 year, 42, I think it is, for the QB franchise tag. Seriously, I think it's that much, 41, 42.
And that's the thing, it's only going to hog tie you to a larger contract later on if you do decide to re-sign him on a longer-term contract. But I think a one-year sample is good, I'd like to see him replicate that for another 17 games next year. And then you can say, okay, yes, this is our guy. Let's sign him to a long-term contract. But like you said, you know, that's a pretty hefty, hit, you know, to franchise him for next year. And then you've got to try and decide what you've got to do with Saquon Barkley. And then again, you've got to address your wide receiver room.
Oh, that's
Golladay, Sterling Shepard. Worthless contracts like that. What do they do with those?
Well, I think now that they've sort of gone through this year, I think if they release them, I think the dead cap isn't that much next year. But you're right. They need a WR1, and they need to probably keep one of those guys. They need a WR1. You said you're exactly right. So those two, just so before we move on, like, so you're saying they should not re-sign Daniel Jones. They should franchise tag him. So then what do they do is they
Can you
franchise tag one player?
No, that's right. Look, I thought Saquon had it. Saquon. That's right. It's a dilemma. It's a dilemma. You know, you could maybe do the thing with Saquon and do a 3-year deal, because look, if he can stay healthy, I think that's his main concern is health. This year, it was great. Minimal health issues this year, was effective. Was getting back to the peak of his powers, like he was, you know, in his first two seasons before he started getting all the injuries. So I think that could be a better way to go about things. Is have some stability there at running back, and you could go the other way. You could tag Saquon Barkley, and then you could it's a brutal way to put it. But if he doesn't live up to expectations, then you just dispose of him. You maybe try and trade him. Do you know what I mean? Like running backs at this time, you know, recently in the league have become, you know, a dime a dozen. And you can pick them up later in the draft. As long as you've got a little bit of draft capital, then do you know what I mean? You can pick up a gem in the later rounds if you so, you know, wish to do that within the draft. But, you know, Saquon Barkley, I thought had a really good year this year, and that's a big dilemma for the Giants.
I know that's what I mean. Like, they've got a very tough off season. They need a wide receiver. They need to work out what they're doing at running back, and and the QB. Like, I think they'll buy into Daniel Jones. I don't think he'll get tagged. I think something like if I'd take him at a 25, 30 million because it's not a huge cap hit for a half competent QB, because there's not many competent QBs around. So 25, 30 for say 3 years or 2 years, I'd be happy with that. Probably maybe Barkley, and then in that
2 years with an
option,
and
then get a wide receiver in the draft, and then get a draft, and then a wide receiver in the draft. So yeah, that's what I would do. But they're in a pretty good position. They're pretty young, and it's a tough division as I know. Like the only one, you know, the Washington Commanders is really the only team has no idea what they're doing at the moment because their owner has no idea.
And that's on many levels, whether it's front office, whether it's ownership, whether it's at quarterback. Like, you know, what the hell's going on there?
Oh, that's we will move on to talking to, well, you know, segue into Aaron Rodgers in a second, but I think that's a, you know, spectacular fail, and I think Wentz is gone again from another team. But we'll move on. We'll move on away from that. We'll talk about quickly with Aaron Rodgers.
Just continuing on with our sort of little bit of a talk about quarterbacks, what could happen in the off season. This week we'll do Aaron Rodgers. What's Green Bay's option? Where do you think Aaron Rodgers' head is at this point in time? Like, he's ring chasing at the moment. Obviously, this season didn't go quite to plan. They did get a whole lot better at the back end of the season. Their front, you know, obviously their first part of the season was not great at all. They did get better as the season went on. He did start to be able to trust his young receivers. Romeo Dobbs, Christian Watson, those sorts of guys. They've got talent, especially there. Does he need to, you know, scale things back a little bit? He's not going to be, you know, he was the two-time defending MVP going into this season. He's not going to get it this year. Does he need to become, you know, a little less, I'm going to, you know, play a bit of hero ball, pass it 40 times, 45 times a game, and start to rely on his good running backs that he's got there and AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones? Or do they just carry on? He has got a gigantic guaranteed part of his contract. Who in the, if there's trade rumors going around, who in the hell is going to be able to free up the amount of cap space to take that hit?
There's two teams that can. There's two teams that can, and there's one team on the back of the recent hiring that makes a lot of sense in the world if they choose, and that would be the New York Jets. The New York Jets have the cap space. The New York Jets sign offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, who happened to be the offensive coordinator for Aaron Rodgers when they had that great season and just fell
short.
That's
the connection. I think that's the only connection there.
But they have the cap space, and they have great young rookie wide receivers. The whole team's pretty young. You get an old head
and they've
like
got an and they've got an amazing defense.
They're pretty good top to door, except for their quarterback. They get an adult quarterback in there. That team could be very, very good, and I think that makes sense. The other team is the Raiders. We'll have enough, depending on what's going to go on with Carr, if they can trade that away before his cap hit. If they can if they can trade him away this week, and before at least when around the Super Bowl, because if they don't,
February 15 where his guaranteed bonus or whatever comes in. So if the Raiders can sort of offload
him, 40 million, isn't it?
I can't remember. I think it's a significant hit. Apparently they're only looking for a third round pick for Derek Carr, which is unbelievable.
Well,
really,
it makes sense. I know that, but it makes sense for the fact of you don't want that cap hit, so then they can go on market for a quarterback. So it makes total sense. They don't want them for that. And you know, and the obvious caveat of their wide receiver and Devonta Adams, the connection that they have there.
There's genuine good connections to both of those teams, and that absolutely makes sense. So you know, Green Bay and obviously Aaron Rodgers, that they've got decisions to make this off season as well. You know, Aaron Rodgers is obviously, you know, is still fairly, you know, fairly chilled about everything. You know, he doesn't seem to get too frustrated with, you know, all the off season jibber jabber. So, you know, he's just going to go about what he does, go in his little darkness and retreat and hallucinate for 4 days in a cave somewhere in the mountains, like he has over the last few seasons. I think that's a very interesting situation, and there's going to be a lot of conversation had, you know, within NFL circles as the off season goes around.
That hit's huge. That team had to factor that in.
It's great. Yeah, it's massive. So, in a hard cap sport like that, just makes it so hard to be able to move that contract if you want to do so. And then if you're the Green Bay Packers, then you've hogtied yourself that means you have to absolutely maximize your draft picks.
Yeah.
And get young players there that are going to be able to create impact straight away on smaller contracts, because you can't go out into the free agent market and try and pick some of these bigger name free agents, because you won't be able to fit them under the cap. Plain and simple.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So it's hard. I mean, gut feeling. I just can't see him as a Jet for some reason.
I can't either. I think it gets run back, because I think whoever wants to make a deal for it will be absolutely afraid of that contract. That's all I see it as,
And yeah, you're right. But I think the Raiders, at least the owner, doesn't care about that. About, you know, spending that kind of money personally.
No, that's fine. But it's not like the NBA where it's a soft cap. It's a hard cap, so you can't breach it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that. And that's why their owners are so full of the picks, but that's why they're smart about it. I agree. I think they run back. They've sort of put themselves in this situation, and look, he didn't have his left tackle and Bakhtiari that pretty much the whole year again. So if he's
They lost Za'Darius Smith, that was a big loss for them. But like, I think if they can shore up the O-line a little bit, if they can take a little bit pressure off Aaron Rodgers in trying to hit those young rookie receivers and rely on those rookie receivers, and you know, have that great 1-2 punch with Dylan and Aaron Jones, then which they started to figure out at the back end of the season. Hey, we've got two pretty damn good and hard running physical running backs. Let's friggin' use them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap it up?
Look, I guess if we just want to do a real quick preview of next week's championship games, the AFC championship game will be the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead against Cincinnati. A replay of last year. For me,
that's a bit of a rivalry, even though they're not in the same division.
It's turned out that way, isn't it?
The players, the Bengals players have you know, cooked this up, calling it Burrowhead already. Burrowhead. Which is insane. It seems to be the Bengals have that rivalry intact. They're the ones that have beat them a few times.
No, that's right. Well, they beat them last three times.
That's right. So
Two times this year and in the AFC Championship game last year. So, look, I think for them, I think Cincinnati.
Comes to the center of the ankle.
No, that's right. Cincinnati needs
really,
to.
Really, this whole game.
Yeah. They need to go full hard on with trying to flush Mahomes out of the pocket and test that ankle out and see how he goes, you know, with a little bit of a scramble. Look, that's probably the – and that's the thing. It's the catch-22. It's the last thing that you want Patrick Mahomes to do because you see the brilliant stuff that he comes up with when he's on the scramble and some of the passes that he makes. But if he's a little bit hampered, you need to find out. And that's a key to that game. Cincinnati have got to try and rush him often and early in that first half to try and just to test out that ankle and see what Mahomes can do. And you know you might be able to sort of put him back into his shell, so to speak, and make him a little bit apprehensive as at least as a rusher anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think. I personally think if Mahomes is good enough on that ankle, I think the Chiefs win. But their defense is probably the key that really has to step up because there's so many weapons on the Bengals side again. So
no, that's right.
I really, really believe that. The other big, obviously, game is the NFC divisional game, and that's the Jesus Christ. I'm going to get this right one day. The Philadelphia Eagles against the 49ers. And for me, because I think that Eagles team is really, really good, really well constructed. And all they really have to do is handle Brock Purdy. And then on the flip side, all 49ers do is to try to get to cover Brock Purdy as much as they can.
That's right. Man, sign me up for this game. Philly's O-line against San Francisco's D-line. This, for me, this is Godzilla versus King Kong. Like, this is going to be just hard-hitting, physical, in the trenches. Let's have 300-pound guys clashing with each other. You know, it's going to be unbelievable. The earth is going to shake at the link. The earth is going to shake with how these two teams are going to play, you know, with offensive and defensive lines. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. You're right. I think it's going to be taking a lot out of what the quarterbacks can produce and even the running backs and the wide receivers. It's just going to be those two behemoths going at each other. So,
oh man, it's going to be unbelievable.
And if Purdy can still go on this unbelievable streak at the end of the day, can he go on
streak? When does the bubble burst? I don't know.
I don't know. But if they, it's interesting. We'll talk. We'll see how this game pans out. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
But if they happen to lose regardless, or win, but if they win or lose. It's going to be so their QB offseason is going to be so interesting. Interesting. So,
oh yeah.
But they've got a phenomenal coach. So,
no, that's right. And that's definitely going to be something to watch for next season with San Francisco, you know, win, lose or draw, you know, if Brock Purdy can get him to a Super Bowl, not so much, it's going to be all on him, but yeah, I think you know he's just got to do enough for them to be solid and he's got to not lose them the game, and that's what he has been a master at over these past eight weeks or so. He hasn't lost them the game, and you know the game stakes only get bigger as the weeks go on. So it'll be how well he can handle the pressure as well.
So we'll finish on our stud and dud of the week, as we always do. Presented by Sportsbet, just because we want a sponsor, but it's not. We'll start presented by Sportsbet. What is your stud of this divisional week for you?
Look, it's a bit not so much a bit out of left field, but I thought Kenneth Gainwell. He was phenomenal.
You son of a bitch. That's who I had.
He was phenomenal. Yeah.
I don't think it was left field at all. I think he was the one that decided they did when he was doing what he's doing. I think Sirianni sort of changed their game plan, and that's why they end up carrying 44 times over 16 throws. Over 24 throws. So I know, and then he was the sole reason for that, and it was just great. Like, that's good that coaches can sort of change that game plan. I agree.
No, that's
He was great. An average to me, anything over an average of 9 yards, and he was 9.3 per carry. You know, that's, you're getting a first down nearly every time. That was great. So
true.
Totally agree. So that was mine as well. If you've got a dud there.
Look,
I didn't put it on any team because I thought each team were pretty admirable in the loss, but go ahead, for me at least.
Look, for me, I thought it was just the overall performance of the Buffalo Bills again falling short. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, there was so much hype all around them all year. And that they've sort of fallen short again. They got through the wild card round last week, and falling short, not so much a more fancied Cincinnati, but Cincinnati just ran roughshod over them, and Buffalo did not take advantage of the things that they should have taken advantage of against Cincinnati, and they weren't in the game, not so much from the get go, but from being behind, they just didn't show any resilience in trying to make a comeback.
Yeah, look, I gave it to Josh Allen on the fact of a little bit of that, but just a little bit of he has pocket awareness. It's not
he does.
That, but his pocket decision making can be left to be a bit desired in the fact of, especially in this game, he ran a couple of just weird. I think it was third and eight, or I think it was a couple of third down runs, and he just ran the ball. He had options, but he decided to try to get that 8 yards himself, and it was nowhere near. Like, I know he can run the ball, and it was clearly, obviously, spells to me that this is how terrible your running core is. But his couple of decision makings are a little bit left to be decided. So as good as I think he is, I think this is where he needs a running back he can rely on, so then he can make better, smarter decisions. That's my feeling.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much right. Like, if you just need to take the pressure off him a little bit. He feels like he needs to do absolutely everything, and you can't be Superman, or every single week of an NFL season. It's too much of a grind. You know, he's a big physical runner, so he takes a lot of punishment when he does run. So that's eventually, and he's a big unit, but it's eventually going to wear you down. If he can, sort of get some of those carries away from himself and onto a more reliable running back, and then I think that makes his running game a hell of a lot more dangerous.
Yeah, I totally agree. I still believe they haven't enough weapons there.
Absolutely.
But I think if they can sort of running back situation and have a healthy defensive secondary, I still think they win the division next year. But we'll talk about that in later off seasons.
Yeah, that's what I mean. 13-3 season, only lost one game at home all year, apart from this one. Look, it's they're there or thereabouts.
It could have been 14-3.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly. If they didn't have the game abandoned.
Correct.
But that's, I mean, that sort of situation can't be helped. I think minimal changes in the off season, but yeah, they could definitely get a stronger running core, and I think that would go a long way in maximizing Josh Allen's potential as a runner. And I think that's one of the most, that's the most dangerous part of his game, apart from his cannon of an arm.
Good point. All right, well, that'll do it this week for our NFL divisional pod.
Beautiful. All righty. Well, you can check us out on all platforms of social media. We're on Facebook. So you can just search on Facebook, the Final Play Podcast. So check us out on there. We're always putting up stuff that just to sort of keep the news up to date. Our pods are also available on there, and there'll also be links to get to pods for Spotify. And then there's also links for SoundCloud as well. So check us out on Spotify and SoundCloud. You can also check us out on the Gymco Podcast Network and on the Gymco website, which is gymko.com.au. Check us out on there. Those guys are always got our backs when it comes to promoting our pod. So we'll promote those guys. So yeah, check out those guys. They're also on Facebook as well, with Eureka Sports Cards. So you can search that, and that will also, get you onto, our pods as well. So, yeah, check those guys out. I know Dom will be working on a big Super Bowl extravaganza again this year. So keep an eye out for that in the coming weeks. It's usually a bit of a massive break. So, but check out those guys. We're always appreciative of the guys at Gymco. So, we appreciate the love we get from them. And so we'll always promote those guys. Happy days.
Well, my name's Jason C. Eagle Smith. Since I've said it twice, maybe I'll say it
You just got NRL on the brain, Plum. The NRL's coming up soon. There's going to be preseason in a couple of weeks. It's go time again with the NRL. But still got a couple of weeks left in the NFL. We'll do championship round. We know championship games next week. And then in a couple of weeks will be the Super Bowl. So yeah, it'll be
we'll also cover the big looming NBA trade deadline as well.
Right, NBA trade deadline is coming up as well. Hopefully there's a little bit of action on that. So we'll cover that. Probably.
We'll see. Rumor wise, it's gearing up to be one of the big ones.
It's gearing up to be the recent years.
Yeah, it's gearing
up to be massive. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next week.
See ya.
See ya.